Hello and welcome. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And for the first time this week, I sort of fully understand what it means to be part of the sandwich generation, and that's the generation between taking care of your kids and your parents. We had a medical issue this week. My parents are super private. I talk about them on air or on social media, which for me, given that I live a lot of my life out loud, is a challenge. But it really is difficult when you are torn between taking care of your own children and torn between taking care of your parents, and you work and you have a marriage to think about and you have so many other factors. And it really brought to life to me how much of our life is unexpected and how many things end up happening where we definitely can't anticipate what's going to happen. And so you think that you have everything under control and you know what the next week looks like, and then something happens and boom, it upsets your entire calendar, your entire life. And I think that one thing this week has showed me is how important it is to have that village around you, so that even if you did not, you know, anticipate needing your village, right? You think you're young, you're healthy, everyone around you is healthy, there's nothing that could go wrong. It's so great to have that village in place before you need anything. And one thing that has become so clear for me in the last week is just how strong my village is, because I really have so many people that have reached out to me and said, can I help you? Can I help you with your kids? What can I do right now? And it has been wonderful to see. And so I encourage you, we're going to talk more about it later in the show, to build your village. Right now, I have Francesca, our first caller on the line. Francesca, are you there?
Yeah. Hey, Samantha. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Last time I saw you was at reunion.
Oh, so for everyone listening, Francesca is a classmate of mine from Harvard. We went to college together, and I'm so happy to hear from you, and I haven't seen you in years. Tell me why you're calling.
Well, it's actually funny because I was talking to another classmate at another classmate's bar mitzvah or son's bar mitzvah the other day. And we were sort of talking about folks, you know, in our age group or whatever. And this idea of, you know, sort of, I said, you know, I feel like I need to go back to millennial school. And she's like, millennial school, like, you know, what's that? Like millennial boot camp or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, I just feel as though this whole idea of being your own CEO and branding yourself and promoting yourself and marketing yourself and all these tools that are quote unquote available now via social media have also become in a way a requirement or something that, you know, I'm just not sure where it all fits together. And people are like, oh, you know, you can learn how to do this on your own, watch how to create your own YouTube channel via, you know, some tutorial online, and there are all these things that you can learn. But it's not how I grew up. I don't know if it's, you know, obviously it's not necessarily how you grew up, perhaps. I don't know. But how do you sort of embrace that, or do you have to, or is there a way to sort of, I mean, what do you do with that?
So the question for you right now is really you're trying to figure out how to brand yourself or update your own personal brand. Is that what it is?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't even know if I have a personal brand, but everybody says I need to get one, but I don't really know that I want one. But
tell everyone what you do. Tell the listeners what you do, because no one has the background.
All right. So I'm a journalist. I'm an on-air TV anchor and reporter, and right now I'm a special correspondent freelance for PBS NewsHour. My most recent story was in December, where I interviewed Bill Murray and talked about his love of poetry. And so, you know, I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and as a broadcast television anchor and reporter, the model has changed and shifted, obviously, as we move toward digital. And as somebody who's entered into the social media space by being on Facebook, by being on Twitter, by being on Instagram, it's sort of been that as I was in a smaller market or even here in New York working for Pix 11 or New York One, everybody flocks to me because they're like, hey, you're on TV. I see you reporting on the news. And that's great to a point. But now you could be a kid talking about, you know, look at Dan's Vans or, you know, somebody's white sneakers or whatever it is that you have to say on somebody's YouTube channel or whatever, and you could be just as popular. So I guess I'm trying to figure out how to maintain integrity about who I am and what I do and the things that I believe in, which are also inclusive of, you know, sort of more spirituality, groundedness, you know, sort of mindfulness, and also kind of have whatever presence and knowledge needed to compete, I guess, in this new world.
Well, first of all, I always think, and this is for anyone listening because you can apply it to any industry, is you want to figure out what your secret sauce is, right? So you have obviously years of experience. You've been on TV on various capacities over so many years, and you are a seasoned journalist, and you could do a story sleep. And a lot of people feel that way about whatever their career they're in. But what is it that makes you unique? So obviously it's not just about figuring out how to get on social media and really brand yourself for branding's sake, but what it does help is I think everyone needs to know what their story is. So if you say, I've just been on TV for 20 years, I've been doing stories for 20 years, then it makes you too much like everyone else. So unique angle, right? So it's like your Bill Murray story. What is the unique angle that you bring to all of the stories you do?
Probably just that my fundamental reasoning for getting into it, which is I want to know what motivates people to do what they do. So that my line of questioning is more along the lines of what motivated them. I'm not so interested in reporting exclusively what happened, but rather why they're interested in or why they did what they did.
So you're interested in the story behind the story, right?
Yeah, I'm interested in the person behind the story.
The person behind the story. So I love that,
and,
right?
Yeah.
So I think that is what you want to start going around saying. Listen, there's plenty of journalists out there, but I always get the person behind the story. That's my secret sauce. That's my unique selling proposition. And then once you have that, you want to nail that. So, for example, while we're on the phone, I'm going to your Twitter profile. For those of you listening, it's Francesca Maxime. And Francesca Maxime says she's a journalist and writer, but that's not telling us that you get to the person behind the story. Right? You uncover. So I want to see your Twitter bio say, I hunt for the person behind the story, or something like that. Right?
Okay.
Journalist focused on the person behind the story.
Okay.
And so that's what you want to start doing. And so anytime you are reading something that sparks your interest, because even if it's something, a piece you didn't do, right? It's like you're always interested in that like nugget that no one else is getting to. And that's what you want to start promoting in all these social media channels. And also just in terms of talking to the people or anyone who works with you, your producer, to start sharing that with people. Like, as you all know, and you can't say this enough, as you all know, I'm always interested in what's motivating someone. I'm always interested in the person behind the story.
Right, and I am. I don't know if you've ever seen William Shatner's show, Raw Nerve, used to be on A&E, but he would sort of pull out these really amazing quotes from people like Judge Judy, for example, and because he was always interested in knowing where they came from, what their childhood was like, what their, you know, what their personality, how it developed, and those kinds of things. So I'm sort of more Oprah-esque, I guess, in that line of questioning to ask in the give me the facts, you know?
Right, but let's go back to your original question, which is millennial school. What does that mean? What are the things you feel like you're missing in your education?
I guess there's just a certain sort of je ne sais quoi, there's a certain, they're interested in things that I don't know that are relevant to me necessarily, or maybe they should be, which is, you know, man buns and, you know, things like that. And
right.
And it's fine and it's great. I just, and there's a large scope of stuff out there that we can talk about, but I don't want to be talking about something that isn't pertinent to me. And some of the things that I'm passionate about, I'm not so sure are great to be writing about because I feel like they might be a little bit too risque and I'm supposed to be neutral and I don't want to be too opinionated.
So it's not really about, it's just sort of like seeing the fact that there's all these young people coming up and they have different interests or different passions than you do. Isn't that more what it's about?
Well, it's that I think that it used to be that when you would go to the checkout counter, the Stop and Shop, you could pick up a copy of the Enquirer or Teen Beat, but it wasn't part of the regular conversation. Now, all those things about Kanye or whatever are about the regular conversation as much as the politics and the election and climate change.
Right. I mean, and that's just, I think, the frustration of everyone our age who's kind of like, where do these people come from? They have their own culture and their own language, and it's very frustrating sometimes. But I think that's just about, you know, just about what's topical right now. But it seems to me, in terms of your original question, I feel like when you start looking at all these things through the lens of what's Francesca's story, everything will be a lot stronger.
Okay, thanks, Francesca.
Right, we are out of
time.
Thank you for calling, Francesca, and we'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
The heart is a bloom, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck.
When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves
turn
brown.
Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And we have been talking about everything having to do with careers and relationships and marriages and everything in between on this show, kids, and everything that it takes to have a large and fulfilling life. And managing to squeeze all of that in is super important. Right now, we have Jamie on the line. Jamie, are you there?
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Samantha. How are you?
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from...
From where?
From Connecticut.
From Connecticut. And how can I help you today?
I was just calling because I've been having kind of this weird thing going on, just emotionally speaking. Like, I feel kind of, like, blasé all the time, and I really have no energy or drive to do anything anymore. I can't really get out of bed in the mornings. I don't really want to go to work. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't know. I think I'm just in a funk. And
so tell us a little bit. Tell us about
it.
Your life. Tell us about your life in terms of what's your daily life like? Who do you live with and what do you do?
Well, I used to live with my parents and then I moved out just because I'm 24. So I had to move out of the house. And when I was living with my parents, it was obviously nice. We didn't have to pay rent, and I loved spending time with my mom and my dad and my dogs. That was about 2 years ago I moved out, and I just kind of moved a few blocks away, but I started working full-time shortly after that, and that kind of took up all my energy, and I recently quit my job. I just wasn't passionate about it, and I didn't like it. I wanted to do something else in my life. And I don't know, ever since then, I've just kind of been at home all day, every day, just reading and sleeping and going on the internet, not really doing anything.
So are you looking for a job?
I mean, occasionally, not like, I'm not super active about it. I don't really need to be working on all the things. I kind of wanted to take a break from work and see if I just needed to, like, be more in touch with myself.
But what do you mean you don't need to be working?
I mean, the way that I made my savings plan, I have these next 2 or 3 months. I can afford to live without a job, like pay my rent, pay my bills, everything these next few months from my savings. So I kind of wanted to take a break from working and figure out what's wrong with me.
Well, the problem is that we all think that it's going to really help to just kind of be home and be in touch with ourselves. But it actually makes it more difficult to figure out who we are, right? Because you're suddenly home, you have nothing around you to inspire you, and you're expecting to suddenly be hit with something that's going to tell you what your passion is. But when you're home, you have far less exposure to the world than you did when you were working. Isn't that true?
I get what you're saying. I don't really think it's exposure to the world that I need. I think I just started a point in my life where I just felt very overwhelmed with everything and very overwhelmed with, like, growing up and not being in school. Like, I loved being in school. I loved when I was taking classes. constantly learning. And then now that I'm not doing that, I'm kind of just like bored. I'm just bored all the time.
Well, you're bored because you're not being a productive member of society right now, right? It's everyone around you is doing things and you're not doing anything.
What do you mean?
Well, you're not working, you're not working, you're not producing anything, you're not contributing to society in any way right now. Are you volunteering?
Yeah, every Sunday I volunteer at the library in my town. That's about it.
Okay, so you're living in a suburb, right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Living with who?
With who do I live with?
Yeah.
I have one roommate, but she works as a flight attendant, so she's really never home. So I kind of have the whole place to myself, except 5 days out of the whole month, she's home.
Okay, and are there other young people that live around you?
Yeah, I mean, I have friends. It's not that I don't have any friends or anything like that. I just, I don't know, they're all busy, they all do their own thing, and only have time for me, so...
What was the job that you quit? What was the job that you left?
I was just working at Barnes & Noble as a sales associate. And at first I really liked it because it was, you know, working with books. I get to read every day. I got to learn more about people and more about books.
And then what happened? Were you inspired when you were working there? Were you feeling more energetic?
I was at first, and then I got kind of lost out of that, and that kind of fell out.
So, okay, here's what I'd like us to do, Jamie. So I've done a lot of research on this, and to have a fulfilling life, you need to touch on at least 6 slices of your life, okay? So I would like us to go through those slices together right now. So first, let's take on your health. What's going on with your health slice? Do you exercise? Do you eat well?
I eat pretty well. I'm not a super active person. I mean, I'm fit, I guess you could say, but I don't like go for 5-mile runs in the morning, you know. I like to go for walks at night, but otherwise I eat pretty healthy, definitely.
Do you exercise at all?
I go for walks at night.
Okay, at night in the dark?
Right before, like, the sun sets, I would say, like, not when it's dark outside, that's kind of dangerous.
Okay, and for how long do you walk?
Maybe 20 minutes, I just kind of walk around my neighborhood a little bit.
Okay. And what would happen if you started incorporating more exercise into your life? What would happen if you started taking classes at the local gym 3 times a week or yoga?
I guess that would be fun. It would give me something to do, and it would boost my heart rate and get me to just be doing something. I just hate sports.
Okay. Well, there's so many. The reason I bring up your local gym is because now there are so many options, whether it's dancing or boxing. It's kind of easy to find one thing that sparks your interest. So what I would like you to do when you hang up the phone with me, I would like you to go to the local gym and get their class schedule and pick one to take tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. And circle whatever interests you and ask if you can test out a class. Okay.
Okay. Do you have a specific take that you would recommend?
Do I have a specific what?
Do you take classes like that you would recommend?
I mean, I always loved boxing class because you don't have to be super committed. I was never very good at following an aerobics routine myself. So I always preferred to take something like boxing, which was more athletic. But I have friends who love hip-hop dance class. It really depends on what interests you. Okay. Now, we're about to go to a commercial break, but I want to go over the other slices of your life, and I want to prescribe something to help you in each of those slices. Can you stay on the line with us?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back after the commercial break with more of Jamie's story, and we are going to help get her life back on track. Please stay tuned.
I had a way then, losing it all on my own. I had a heart. The queen has been overthrown, and I'm not sleeping now. The dark is too.
am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And you can always reach me all week long on Twitter at Samantha Edis or in our very vibrant 26,000 member Facebook community at facebook.com/Samantha Edis. You can also sign up for my free weekly newsletter, which comes out every Thursday with work-life wellness tips. And that is at SamanthaEdis.com. Right now, we're continuing with a caller named Jamie from Connecticut who quit her job at Barnes & Noble and is now at home trying to find what her passion is and feeling down in the dumps and feeling like she has no energy and no passion. And so we are right now going through the slices of her life. We covered health and decided that it would be really helpful for Jamie to take a fitness class, and now we are going to the relationship category. Jamie, are you involved with anyone?
I am not, unfortunately.
Okay, and when was the last time you were?
I want to say it was about 4 or 5 months ago. I've been trying to get over it, but
And did that coincide with when you left your job?
It was around the same time.
So did you quit your job before that happened or after?
It was shortly before. Like about a month or two before, I think. But I don't think the two are related. Well, they might be, I guess. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to process the whole breakup, honestly, but... Yeah.
Okay. And how long were you with this person?
We were dating for 8 months before that, kind of on and off. He was in school in New York, so it was kind of long distance.
Okay.
But he was from my hometown, so that's how I knew him. We went to high school together. And then we only started dating after high school, obviously.
I see.
But.
Okay. Now, tell me about dating now. Have you met anyone since then?
Not really. I was talking to somebody that I volunteered at the library at, but I don't think we were physically attracted to each other. We were just kind of friends that would talk a lot at work.
Okay.
But it didn't really progress outside of that.
Jamie, what about online dating?
I don't know. I feel like online dating kind of weirds me out, to be honest. I have friends that do it, like they go on Tinder or they use OkCupid, and, you know, I've heard some success stories with it, but I don't know, it just kind of weirds me out.
Here's the thing, more than a third of marriages today are from people who met online, and so when you cut yourself off from the possibility of meeting someone online, you're cutting off a major distribution channel to meet someone. And so if you're interested in meeting someone, first of all, it's a numbers game. You want to go out with as many people as possible. And it's unlikely someone is going to find you if you're in your apartment watching TV, right? And so online dating is a way for you to expose yourself to more people, get more practice dating, and end up meeting the right person. So I would recommend that you put up an online dating profile now. Choose one site. Choose OkCupid, for example. And put up a profile and start having a goal of going on a date with someone that seems interesting to you every week. And the worst thing that happens is that you get more dating experience. Nothing, you know, there's no downside to it. But it's a lot better than meeting someone at a bar, right? There's a lot more chance that you have something in common because you've already sort of pre-screened them. And you will get a lot of practice that way.
You mean like practice?
In dating, because
by going on dates.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is that if you go on one date every 2 months, it's a lot of pressure on that one date, right? If you go on a date every week, it's a lot less pressure on each date. Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah. I see what you're saying. I guess I'm just scared of, like, starting to be intimate with someone, and not even like in the physical sense, just mentally and emotionally intimate and opening myself up. It kind of freaks me out, and seeing it as like a practice, I don't know if that's the right way for me to approach it. I feel like I'm the kind of person I need to just go into it and try it out for real and not see it as like a practice session.
So a lot of the pattern I'm hearing from you in all these areas is that you've closed yourself off to people.
So you basically are closing yourself off emotionally to dating. You decided that you don't want to be around other people really when you're exercising. You're only taking walks at night right before it gets dark, right? You're not working anymore, so you've closed yourself off to meeting anyone at work. So it sounds like in every area of your life, you're basically hibernating.
Okay.
So what are you protecting yourself from?
I guess that's a really good question. I haven't really thought too much about it. I guess I'm just scared of being hurt by friends or scared of being hurt by, you know, just loneliness and, like, feeling sad.
Well, it sounds like that's where you are today, though, right? It sounds like you're very lonely and sad today.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just how I am every day, to be honest. But I don't know.
So, unfortunately, if you read any studies about friendship or relationships, the more social interaction you have, the happier you're going to be. And so the irony is that when we feel yucky inside, we close ourselves off from other people and we end up feeling worse. And so the cycle perpetuates, right? Then you read, like, and you feel like everyone else is hanging out without you. You know what I mean? That's how we end up feeling, because we're at home and we just get sad that no one's around us, but we're not putting ourselves out there to make sure that we are socializing or investing in other people. So it becomes this vicious cycle.
Right. So, I just feel like my friends never really invested in me. And so for me to start investing in them, it just kind of is like, I don't want to put myself in that position where I'm the one that's putting in effort all the time, which
okay,
is what
so,
I'm
so
doing
so
in the past.
Okay, so tell me what that means. So give me an example of a friend not investing in you.
Well, I was really close to somebody a year ago, and we were really good friends. And then after about 6 months of being friends with them, they kind of cornered me into a room and told me that I suck and that I'm a terrible friend and that they don't want to be friends with me anymore, basically just saying that I don't consider them, even though I felt like I was always the one making plans around them. I was always the one that was investing in them and in their future and in their happiness, and I was never getting that in return. So from someone that I was really heavily putting myself into, and then that's the response I get from it, it kind of made me think, oh, well, if this person who I thought was my best friend is going to think this about me, then what does everyone else think, and how much does my effort really even matter to people? And ever since then, I guess, has probably just been when I sort of shut myself out. I just saw it as like, why bother investing in people when they just think that I'm not a good friend and that I suck?
I mean, that's obviously incredibly difficult. So, I mean, in the last year, you had friends who completely let you down. You had a relationship breakup, and you left your job, right? You're not exercising. You left your parents' home, which made you feel really comfortable and good. So you have a lot of real reasons to feel sad and to feel rejected. Right?
Yeah, I just don't know how to get over it, and I just don't know how to move on. It honestly does take up a lot of, my thoughts throughout the day, just kind of not directly think back to that moment because it happened a year ago, but, just that general feeling I had.
Jamie, here's what we're going to run out of time, but here's what I want you to think about, okay? You have two choices in life. You can dwell, right? We can all do this, right? We can dwell on everything. We can dwell on all the people that have hurt us. We've all had friendships break up. We have all had, relationships that break up that we didn't want to break up. We have all had these experiences, and we can choose to dwell on all of those, or we can choose to make things better in the future. But you are a wonderful person. I can hear it in your voice. You have so much to offer the world, and I hate the idea of you just sitting in your house feeling miserable and feeling like you're going to protect yourself from the world, because when you're in your home, you're depriving the world of all of your gifts, and you have so much to offer the world, just like you have so much to offer when you volunteer at the library on Sundays. But you have so much to offer in the productivity department, in the friendship department, in the relationship department. And so if I could share with you one piece of wisdom today, it would be to go out there, to start making new friends, to look for a job, because it doesn't have to be the perfect job. But in that job, even if it's a crappy job, you might end up meeting the love of your life or a future best friend. But you're never going to meet these people and get your life back in order by sitting in your apartment. So the more things you can do to get out there, to go to a fitness class, to put your dating profile online, to go apply for a job, the world needs you, Jamie, so we need to get you out of your apartment. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for all your help today.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jamie, and please do call me in a couple weeks and let me know how you're doing.
Sure thing.
We'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
My face above the water.
Lately, I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be
counting
stars.
Hello and welcome
stars.
Back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. Stars. And I've enjoyed connecting with so many of you all week long in our very vibrant Facebook community at facebook.com/SamanthaEdis. And also online on Twitter, as well as, one of the things that has really amazed me this week is just what I was talking about before about the village, is that when you get into trouble, who is going to be there by your side? And it's so critical to sometimes take a look around and think, if I needed someone to help me, whether it's just help me emotionally by taking me out to dinner or, grabbing a cup of coffee with me or sitting around my house while I cry or taking my kids to school or helping me when my car is broken down, who are those people? And if you look around and you feel like, I don't really have that team in place, it's so critical to start creating one. And that means investing. Relationships. And one of my favorite experts is friendship expert Shasta Nelson, who shares that one of the most important things you should realize is that if you feel suddenly like all of your friends are letting you down, that means you don't have enough friends. Because no friend is perfect and no friend can offer everything. You should get something from every friendship. And so one friend might be super unreliable, but they're really fun. And another friend might be the kind of friend that you cry to when you're sad because they're really empathetic and they understand people. So it's really important to realize that every friend plays a different role in your life. And that's why the goal is never to have a BFF, because a BFF is always going to let you down. The goal is to have a lot of really close, solid friendships. Right now, we have our next caller. Shanice, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
Great. I live right near you in Los Angeles. And how can I help you today?
Okay. I want to be married. I want to be in a relationship, but whenever I get in one, I'm always ready to get out of it as soon as something happens.
How old are you?
I'm 29. I have
29.
Three children.
Wow.
My oldest is 14. So I've kind of been through the ropes, and I don't have any more energy left.
Well, I don't blame you. You started having kids when you were 17. Is that right?
No,
or
15.
When you were 15.
I had my first kid at 15. Yes.
15. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your life since then. Are all the kids from the same father?
No, my two youngest kids have the same father. We're no longer together because of reasons. So I am guarded due to that situation.
Okay. Unfortunately, we keep losing you in and out. You're no longer together because of what reasons?
Okay. We're no longer together due to domestic violence.
Okay.
But I find myself in a new relationship with a really, really nice guy, but I find myself when they don't lack the same energy or like worth ethic as me, I'm okay, forget it.
Now, what kind of relationship did your own parents have?
My mother was not married, but my grandparents have a beautiful relationship, so I grew up seeing that.
Okay. And what made you stay with a man who was violent for so long?
Well, it didn't get violent until once I was ready to get out of the relationship.
Okay, so when he got jealous or possessive, that's when he got violent.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, okay, I've had enough.
Okay, good for you. So this is not something we're at risk of again. It's not going to happen again in the sense that that's not something that you tolerate in a relationship.
No, not at all.
Because I was going to say, typically when I talk to women who have experienced domestic violence, they don't sound as confident as you do. So I can tell from your voice that you are a very strong, confident person.
I try to keep it together.
Awesome. Okay. So tell me, what do you do?
I'm a cosmetologist. I'm a licensed cosmetologist, but right now I'm loving the nail industry, so I'm doing nails.
Okay.
And when I am not doing nails, I'm being a freelance artist because I still love the industry, makeup, things like that.
Now, when do you have time to date? Because you have 3 kids and you work. When do you make time to date?
I make time to date every other weekend. My kids leave every other weekend, so I make time to go out and do things then. And then I also make my own schedule at work, so
okay.
I have free time to do it.
You have time. So really what this comes down to is when you say you're picky, how often has this happened? Is this really a pattern, or are you just being hard on yourself?
I don't know what's happening. I know that I've been in relationships. It's just like when something goes wrong, I just want to bail. But then a part of me is like, it's a stupid reason to bail.
But when you look back, were these relationships the right ones? Or maybe it was really an instinct that you had that this is not the right person for you?
I always feel like that.
I mean, when you look back, is there someone you miss? I mean, do you miss any of these relationships?
No, I don't miss relationships. They were long term, so I don't miss any of them. They
okay.
had their reasons why.
So, I mean, Shawnees, it doesn't – just from listening to you, I am not concerned. First of all, a lot of the reason that women who are 29 want to be married or want to find a partner is because they want to have children. You've already done that. Are you having more kids perhaps?
I want to have more
children.
You
want
to have
more kids.
I do want to be married.
Okay. Plenty of time for that, okay? But the other thing is that you have a sense, because you are such a confident person, you also clearly have a sense of the fact that you need a man who's equally confident and strong and has a zest and energy for life that you do. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes sense that it's not going to be that easy to find someone who can be a match for you, in the sense that you don't want to settle for someone with less energy than you. You want someone who's vibrant and fun and is going to be adding to your life the way you're adding to theirs.
Okay.
So rather than think of, you know, so I mean, rather than think of yourself as super picky, I would think of it as you're actually letting these wrong relationships go too far. Maybe they shouldn't be getting to the relationship stage. Maybe you should be spending more time dating and a little more about who you get into a relationship with.
Oh, my God. Yes, maybe this is what I should be doing, because it sounds like you're telling me everything that I feel.
Okay, good. So what we're going to start doing is getting you a larger selection of people. You're going to broaden your horizons, date more people, and then when you find someone that you're passionate about, that's who you're going to go into a relationship with.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much for calling, Sunnies. And for those of you listening, have a wonderful week. Be great to yourselves and great to your families. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks for listening.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.